Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
Hey, Michelle. Once again, I'm on a plane, and I open up my iPad, since you can do that now, and I'm
finally.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, geez. And suddenly, there it is, again and again and again, the whole issue of weight, obesity, and the mental toll it takes on so many people. It just, you know, Michelle, how I feel. It rips at my heart. It's
out of control, Pam. It's just out of control. And we keep dealing with this. I mean, we see it every single day. What are we going to do about it is the question, right?
Well, we want to look at obesity, the psychological effects of a mental disease. And I can't think of a better person to address this than Susan Strain, who is the director of eating disorder services at the Recovery Ranch in Tennessee. And I got to fess up right now that Susan is part of our big family with Elements Behavioral Health, and Recovery Ranch in Tennessee is one of my most favorite places because it offers such a comprehensive array of fabulous services for people who have everything from addiction to eating disorders. And Susan has a stellar background. She's a member of the Academy of Certified Social Workers, licensed clinical social worker, and a certified eating disorder specialist. So, Susan, welcome to Her Radio. And
well, thank you.
And welcome on board. And we want to, I'm looking at these statistics. Studies have found that 30% of adults who are categorized obese first developed weight problems in childhood. Is this where this whole mental trauma and drama really begins?
I think it does. And when you say trauma, you're not exaggerating, because what we know now is that the shame associated with shape and weight and with other evaluations of self are really experienced by the brain as a real threat to survival. Anything that threatens our sense of being worthy of love, worthy of connection, worthy of belonging, really strikes at the same part of our brain where other survival threats are processed. So we're not just talking about a little psychological discomfort. We're talking about the fear of not being good enough and not belonging, which just sets off a whole chain reaction through our systems.
So social discrimination, low self-esteem, studies have indicated that that teasing at school, difficulties playing sports, fatigue, sleep apnea, and other obesity-linked problems severely affected children's well-being. Can you talk to us more about this?
Well, yeah, and I think that body shame that is really passed down in families is not really just body shame. It's really part of a whole, I'd say, crisis in our culture of what I call lookism, that we have become so superficial that it's all about the way we look. And, parents will unconsciously perpetuate this as they raise their own children, where we've gotten away with really looking at who we are versus what we do.
Right. I love that lookism. Susan, that's just going to be something I hold on to as one of my favorite phrases. Oh, it's very powerful.
We steamroll over the people we love so that we can look good for the strangers at the mall.
Oof.
It's crazy. Yeah. It is crazy.
Yeah. So true.
And there's all this inadvertent body language and, gestures and posturing from friends, family, and otherwise when you're younger, when you're impressionable, and you're getting these messages that basically say, you're not good enough. And mm-hmm. we have a different way of looking at this. You're not fitting in. Do something with yourself. And this is where perfectionism and self-hate and fat shame fat shaming. There's that whole fat shaming that happens, because once you do become heavier, then it goes from the body shame and fat shame thing. You've got all these strange ideations that come out of this, right, Susan?
Yes. Yeah. And I think we're bringing kids up to not understand their own personal internal gifts, that it, you know, that's linked with what we know as adults is a deeper meaning and purpose in our lives. But if you think about kids starting on this treadmill of, oh my goodness, what do I look like? I don't look like the other kids. That is their project at a time where they could be developing a deeper and richer relationship with themselves. And then the whole thing spirals out of control because they have set their brains up to be living from the outside in rather than the inside out.
Right.
And they haven't been doing the values driven work that we know is so important to healthy development. And this is a big problem with eating disorders, because eating disorders emerge roughly between 12 and 25. And that's the time that people would be developing their own interests and hobbies and meaning and purpose in their lives. And if the eating disorder, or ED, as we like to say, has become the glue that holds them together, that by the time they're 30 or 35, they don't have those core values. They don't even know how to begin to find them, because the eating disorder...
Okay, so Susan... Well, Susan, you know, so now we're looking at issues including depression, eating disorders, distorted body image, and low self-esteem. All right, what can we do? What are some solutions
here?
How can we prevent this?
Well, we've got to become critical viewers in the media. And I think women especially have to talk about this rather than talking about, you know, not feeling comfortable in our jeans or how do I look in this, to begin to critically evaluate kinds of images that we're inundated day in and day out. So the billboards, the commercials, the magazines as you're going through the checkout, to critically evaluate that. Is that an average person's body that I'm seeing there? Is that an airbrushed image? Which, you know, most of them are. But unless we start talking to each other about that and raising our kids differently, the cycle will just keep perpetuating.
Right. I think in my case with my own daughter, she would say, I would say, you know, I look fat in these jeans. And, of course, she looked at me and went, are you crazy, Mom? Like, there's no an ounce of fat on you. And it really started to make her feel uncomfortable about her own body image. And,
yeah.
You know, she made it very clear to me that I needed to stop doing that. And I know it really affected her. And I never really thought about it until, you know, she called me out on it. And she has an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it speaks volumes that she was able to verbalize what was happening. Because most of the time, it's on an unconscious level. That, you know, our daughters watch us scrutinize in front of the mirror or pinch or suck our bellies in or look at our butts, and then they sort of absorb that criticism and that body hatred that so many women have. So I'm encouraged that she was able to call you out on it.
Right, she did.
I think that's fabulous that, you know, she called you out on it. And, you know, I think that your words of wisdom, Susan, is really have helped us understand the psychological effects of what happens, especially in childhood, and the trauma associated with this whole body shame as well as lookism. I want to thank you so much, Susan Strain, who is the director of eating disorder services at the Recovery Ranch in Tennessee. That's recoveryranch.com. I am Dr. Pamela Peake with Michelle King Robeson.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Stay well.